Right, we have here an interesting quote from the Chavos Yoyer. The Chavos Yoyer was a Bior Chaim Bachrach, who was the Rav in Worms in the second half of the 1600s. His father, Reb Shimshon Bachrach, was the Rav also in Worms before him. And he was a great Goyin, Shas Yeshuvas Chavos Yoyer. He's a Londish Sefer in Halacha. And Chavos Yoyer, in addition to being a great poysik, was also very well acquainted in many of the sciences, such as astronomy. Also had a very much knowledge also in the area of mathematics and so on. And in his youth, actually, he sort of like grew up in Prague. So in Prague at the time, you're going back already, you know, in the first half of the 1600s when he was a young boy. So he writes in the Tshuvas Chavos Yoyer regarding there was a goyin there by the name of Reb Pinchas Horowitz. Actually, one of the old shuls in Prague, there's still the name of Reb Pinchas Horowitz by the cemetery, the old cemetery in Prague. And he writes that Kobalti Shahagoyin, he says, Hayos is Reb Pinchas Horowitz. That Soif Yomov, he says, that he was in Prague, who is a muflim moedi, says, Bohiroim Poiskim. This Reb Pinchas Horowitz was a very great expert, he said, in Halacha, in Hoiroa, and in Poiskim, he says, and I found out about him that his gavlus in Aron Poiskim, Shohoyu Kol Limudai Barosh. Again, we're talking about the Rosh. So here you have the Chavos Yoyer talking about Reb Pinchas Horowitz in Prague. We're talking about, again, in the first half of the 1600s, that Reb Pinchas Horowitz was Kol Limudai Barosh, Ki Ilu Nitin Mesinai. He would learn the words of the Rosh as mamish, as if this was given Mesinai, in Har Sinai. The words of the Rosh, that for him was the last word. Ad Kedei Kach, Bloi Chosh Klau. He disregarded completely imhu neged hachroyes hagoyin Ramo. We know that the Ramo, right, who basically doesn't always paskin like the Rosh. The Ramo paskins like the various psalmi, various rishaydim. Sometimes it is like the Rosh, sometimes it could be like the Rambam, like the Rif, and so on and so forth. So even when the Ramo came to a conclusion which was not like the Rosh, but Pinchas Horowitz, he didn't care. And he said that the Rosh to him is like nitin misinai, and whatever the Rosh paskin, that was for him the last word. So it writes here, the Chavos Yoyer, he says, the Yomar, is Reb Pinchas Horowitz said, Ki gam hu kedai lahachriya. I don't need the remote to tell me how to paskin, he says. Says, I know how to be machriya. And according to my opinion, he says, if the Rosh says this way, this is the way you have to follow. That was Reb Pinchas Horowitz. So the Chavos Yoyer writes, I knew him as was to see him is when I was very young, he says. Lanihi kartiv bikatnusi. How did I actually get to see him? He says, you know why? He davened in the same shul with my father, and they set kamat next to each other, he says. He says, Kohayisi oimed, because I was to stand next to my father. Litnemokim mishiva sadoini yovi hagoin, satsal, shoyusomach li shivosoi. And where did they sit? You can imagine they sat up front, next to the Ronkoidish, Sumo Ronkoidish, the great people, the great rabbonim. So they had seats next to Ronkoidish. So it was the father of the Chavos Yoyer was in Prague, next to the Ronkoidish. And Reb Pinchas Horowitz had a seat there. You know, and I was the son of my father. So I was there, so I saw and I observed Reb Pinchas Horowitz, he says. It was the Beis HaKnesses, Yoshen Chodesh, the Alt Nai Shul. Yoshen Chodesh. That's the famous shul, you know, the Alt Nai, that's the Maharal shul, which, you know, that we know about. So Yoshen Chodesh, the old and the new shul. Why it's called the Alt Nai Shul, you know, there's many different reasons for that. There's some say the legend has it, or some say that it's because when they built the socialism, well, the oldest shul, actually, that you have in Europe goes back to the 1200s, in the 13th century, really. And it was said there was that they made a condition that we hope to go back one day to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, certainly Mashiach comes, and even before, if possible. But whatever the situation is, so we're building a shul here only temporary al tanai, which is on condition that we'll take the stones back with us. He says to Eretz Yisrael. So it's a play on words: al tanai, old new al tanai. Please, it was built al tanai, unconditional. This is not to be here permanently, but we hope and we're looking forward to the day that we'll be able to take all the stones of this shul to take it to Eretz Yisrael. The actual reason, historically, they say it's called the old new shul or the al tanai shul is because the fact is there was the shul was really before was. the older shul and was restored. So the old shul was restored, making it like new. So it's really the old new shul, but it's the same shul. It was the old shul, and then they restored it, right, and they refurbished it, so it became new, but it's not really new. It's the old shul, so it was called the Altnai shul, which is the old new shul. Again, we gave a number of examples about the strong authority of the Rosh and the unbending, right? Unbending psukim that the Rosh gave forth. And the Rosh is very, very strong, as in his psukim, very, very accepted, as we know. So here we have very interesting few lines in the Tshuva Sarosh, which has the Klal Esrim Vechod in the 21st principle. Where he has it in Simentes. And he writes as follows. He writes a letter. He says, Shloim Choyi Netzach. He says, I wish you, he says, eternal peace. He says, to Hachochem Rav Yankiv. That's the name of the person that the Rosh is writing this letter. A few lines over here. And he says to him, Haksav, he says, Sheshalachti Lo'oisoi Chosra Moyach. I sent a letter to someone who is a Chosra Moyach. Means he's lacking a little bit of brains, he says. And he goes further, and it's something we mentioned a little bit last week, but we want to make a point here. He says, Vim lo yachze boy, I want you to know, if that person, this Chosra Moyach, he says, if he doesn't change his ways, if he doesn't retract, Animasr b'cho, he says, I'm warning you, v'skol ha'koil, I'm insisting, shinhagu b'nidu, that to put this guy in cherem, treat him like he's in cherem. Treat this person like he's in cherem, he says, and he said, who's this person? Treat this person in cherem, Hamishuge Yaakov Bar Moshe. Rosh writes, Hamishuge Yaakov Bar Moshe, v'yachikuhu, and you should distance him, v'yavdilu, and separate him, Madas Yisrael. He doesn't belong to the Jewish community. Doesn't say exactly what this person did, but it's been something very, very serious, and the person didn't want to retract. So the Rosh writes a letter to this person, to this Rabbi Yankiv. He says, I'm warning you, and I'm giving you instructions. You see to it, that you and the whole Jewish community, that they're mocking this person, that they're distancing themselves from this person. He says, Kol Dover Zetzor Chizik, because this situation needs, he says, a lot of chizik. We have to really enforce this. So Yovel Kol Shoyte Choser Das Levatel Toras Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashon. So apparently what this person was doing, he was threatening the authority of Toras Moshe, of traditional halacha, and what it was accepted. And therefore he says, we don't want anybody just to come along any day, just to decide to do whatever he wants. And therefore it's very important to really, once and for all, really to set the standard. And he said, "Bimyamid b'mordoi." And if he continues to rebel, this person, let's say we put him in a cherem, we do all that, he still, he calls him a meshuga, he's always a chosadas. So you have no, he'll insist, he won't want to change his mind. "Bimyamid b'mordoi," and he says, "Ani goyzer olav b'mitzvus adoineinu hamelech." Yud Reshei is a Rosh Tevis. You see how all the Gedolei Yisrael, how they respected the monarchy and the authority. Yud Reshei is Yorum Hoidoi. Kodesh Baruch Hu should raise up his glory of the king. So like when you say, that when you mention the name of the king, immediately a bracha was added, that Kodesh Baruch Hu should give him, you know, power, that he should be able to reign with glory and covet. So he says, the Rosh says, remember, he said that the Rosh had the power of the king of the monarchy, and he says, I go, he says, with the power of Adoneinu HaMelech, to penalize him, Shi'itin Elev Zuz L'moshel here. He should have knas of 1,000 zuz, that he has to pay so to the government, Shi'yigva Memenu Knas, Hanizker. So I'm going to penalize him, he says, 1,000 zuz, must have been exorbitant amount of money. And what happened if he still refuses to retract? Says the Rosh further. Im kolze lo yoyil, gizvanu alecho, the maikzera is, shetoydiyeni hakoil, first let me know of how his behavior is. And it's a mitzvah on adoysoi, entire Spain should be noik, because till now we said, tikihila, should be noik cherum with him. But if he says, if he doesn't retract, then I want you to know that it's a mitzvah to put him in cherum in all the kihilos of Sfarad. And not only that, the gam yodoyinu oisoy lemovis, he deserves to die. Deserves to die. Ki din zokin mamre, like a rebellious chacham. Ki onu chayovim limser nafsheinu al teirus elikim ulevayir oisoy harav. We have to remove. He says all evil. He says mikrabenu. He says from our midst. Va'ato sholoim and so on and so forth. He says osher ben yechil. So here again, very strong, that the Rosh, they had the palm. I mentioned that at that particular time they did were given power and authority. They had autonomy, that they were even to the extent, if they wanted to, they can exercise capital punishment. But Rosh says, I refuse to do that. But interesting, but this person, he says, if nothing's going to help, he said, we may have to go as far as that. So it's very interesting to see how far the Rosh goes. Let me just mention just one more thing. Regarding the Sefer Orchis Chaim that we are learning, the name Orchis Chaim, it was not always known by the name Orchis Chaim, but rather it was called Hanhodus HaRosh. The Hanhoges Rosh means the Hanhoges that the Rosh, of course, instructed behavior, Torah, Avodah, Yerushalayim, that we have in the Sefer. As a matter of fact, the Chidah, in the Sefer Shem HaGdolim, when he refers to this Sefer, Orches Chaim, does not refer to it as Orches Chaim, but Hanhoges Rosh. And he writes as follows regarding this Sefer. He writes the Chidah, Hanhoges Rosh. He says, this Sefer Orches Chaim, which he calls Hanhoges Rosh, which they are Hanhoges, of course, Hanhoges Rosh, Hudvisu Bekamas Farim. They have been printed many, many times. Vehim Divrei Musar Veyira. The words of Orches Chaim is words of Musar and Yerushalayim. Bedvarim Kitzarim. It's very Bekitzer. The Sefer is very Bekitzer. Vehim, even though it's Bekitzer, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled, he says, by looking at the quantity. But really appreciate is the quality, because heim arzei halvonon, because the words of the Rosh here in this sefer, they are as high as the mighty cedar trees. Arzei halvonon, horomim kaharori kale, as mighty and tall, he says, like the highest of mountains. He says the words of the Rosh. Ashrei Odom, writes the Chidah. Fortunate is a person that Yehege, that will study it and conduct himself. Not enough to study, but you should learn the lesson. Many people study a lot of things, but they don't take it into practice. Says Asher Yodom, he says, Yehege v'yanig atzmoi ubonov. To teach it to himself, put in practice, and to his children. He says, and v'cheich oichel yitam. It is so sweet, it says, to the palate of the mouth. Dvorim kedoshim hayotzim mipe kodesh. The Rosh. So writes the holy words that comes out of the holy mouth of the Rosh. So writes the Chidah. So, because having said that, so let's take a look here again. We're looking here at the Orches Chaim. And here we have here, it's a halacha that we're all familiar with. And yet there's a word of chidush, something very interesting, new, in the words of the Rosh, which many have difficulty in understanding. Okay, let's take a look. We are here on Daf Tes. Okay, page Tes. Daf Tes. And it's Yudalit, Sif Yudalit, the first one on top of the page. So the Rosh tells us, Shlo yisaper mishiyaschil borch shomar at shiyisayim tfilis lachash. It's also for a person, when you're davening, from the time of Baruch Shomar, you're not allowed to speak. You're not allowed to speak, to be mafsik, from the time of Baruch Shomar till the end of the Shemayin Esrei. Clearly. Not allowed to. Somebody asks you something, you say, nu, 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 nu. That's it. And maybe, say, that's not the time to talk. Alright? So this is an Isser. So Yisapim, Sheyaschil, Baruch Shomar, Sheyisayim, until he ends, Tfilis Lachash, which is the quiet Shemayin Esrei. In addition, you're also not allowed to speak at Chazoras Hashatz. When the Chazan repeats the Shemayin Esrei, you're also not allowed to speak. You're supposed to listen to what he says, and of course to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemayin, you say Amen. Okay, so you're not allowed to speak, he says, from Baruch Shomar till the end of Tfilas Lachash. You're also not allowed to talk during Chazoras Hashatz. But then he says, Elohim came with Divrei Torah. Now that's bothersome, because you look in the Poskim, you're not allowed to speak Divrei Torah either. Not allowed to speak anything. Not allowed to speak Divrei Torah. Supposed to hear what the Chazan is saying, right? An answer, right? The answer of the bracha is Baruch Hu Shemayin Amen. Not allowed to speak Divrei Torah. And here the Rosh says, unless it's Divrei Torah, then you are allowed to speak about it during Chazoras Hashatz, or Dvar Mitzvah, or something that's negated to a mitzvah. Fine. Or Losei Shalom Lahar Zeshalom. There's also, if somebody stretches out his hand and says Shalom Aleichem, right? Shalom Aleichem. There's an obligation to return it. You know what they say is to extend shalom is a courtesy, but reply is an obligation. Somebody gave you shalom, you have to send the cloud. So meshiv shalom is more chiyuv, you know, than to give shalom. So to give shalom, if you give, you don't give. But if somebody gave you shalom aleichem, you have an obligation to return it. That's not so. Melech said the Rosh says, but the Rosh talks here. Lots of shalom, how's the shalom? So we have here a little bit from the Rav Moshe Sternberg here on the bottom. Let's take a look here. Yudalit. First of all, he's medayik. He says very interesting the words. He puts together, the Rosh lumps together, right, two prohibitions of speaking. One is from Baruch Shomar till the end of Shemayin Esrei, and then he says also not to speak during Chazoras Hashatz. See, what you see from here is that everybody, you know, we're quite well aware and we're careful about. Most people do not talk out from Baruch Shomar, I hope not, between Baruch Shomar and Tulam. But Chazoras Hashatz, many people are mekel. But the Rosh puts it together. He says, Osir and Osir. So Moshe Sternberg says, Medame ho Isser b'Chazoras Hashatz, the Rosh compares the Isser, the prohibition of Chazoras Hashatz, le Isser b'Psuke de Zimra. So it means that talking out during Chazoras Hashatz is just as serious as talking out from Baruch Shomar to Shemayin Esrei. And that is something that we're not so well aware of. Yes, we heard about such a thing. You shouldn't be talking your Chazor Zashatz. But you see that people are lax about it. But from Baruch Shomat and Yenash Ben Esra, that people understand. But from the Rosh here, but putting them both together, so Moshe Sternbuch understands, he said that the Rosh is comparing the two. What we see from here, by the way, he says, even though you're not davening, the Shatz is talking, you're not davening. Baruch Shomar, you know, you're doing the davening. You're davening from Baruch Shomar. So, but Chazor Sashatz, the Chazan is davening. You're not really davening. And yet, the Rosh says, you shouldn't be speaking. And he puts it together, right, with one breath. In one breath together with the Isser speaking after Baruch Shomar. We see, because he's comparing it, the same thing. So this is a very noteworthy thing to see what is being taken to understood from the words of the Rosh, the Isser, the prohibition for speaking during Chazor Sashatz. Now, Elim came with Divrei Torah. Regarding Divrei Torah, he says, Tumua, he says, Otu muter losiach b'divrei Torah b'chazor sashatz, he says, it's astonishing. The Rosh is saying that Divrei Torah, you're allowed to speak to him. Chazor Sashatz says, when is that? You're not allowed to. We know you're not allowed to. So he says, Veniris, so therefore, so Rav Sternbuch says, suggests that the Rosh is talking about a special situation, specific situation. You're not allowed to speak Divrei Torah. Somebody has a good word to say. You don't say over a good word on the parsha during Chazor Sashatz. You don't say it up. So, but rather, he's talking about the Naira, he's talking about Keshimistapik Bisha'el of Divrei Torah. Somebody has a Shai Laloche. If something is Mutar or Oser, so it's Negei Lamaise. So something like that, he says, so it's Negei Lachshav. Somebody has a question in Lahaloche, and the question happens to arise while the Chazan, but it's Negei for now, it's not something that could wait. So if that's the question, see, he suggests that that's what the Rosh possibly means, unless it's Divrei Torah. I mean, Divrei Torah, that's Negei Lamaise, that you have to have the answer now, because it's something that is applicable, that you have to know, because it's something that you have to be doing now. That you have to be doing now, and you have to know the answer now. But otherwise, if it's not really, if it's just a theoretical, you know, Dvar Torah on the Parsha, or something like that, you shouldn't be learning either. You shouldn't be speaking during Chazor Sashatz. And the Rosh says over here, a Dvar Mitzvah, he says. If it's a Dvar Mitzvah, he says, if it's regarding a Dvar Mitzvah, he says, then you can't speak. She'olu lahafsid, because if you don't, you may lose the Mitzvah. She'olu lahafsid, because you are risking to be mafsid, to lose the mitzvah, im lo yedaber achshav. It brings down from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, she'oyser afil dvar mitzvah. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says, even dvar mitzvah. Shouldn't be speaking during Chazor Sashatz, he says. So as far as the Rosh is concerned, so chloim, we have to say, the kanmairi b'mitzvah there, so much a mitzvah that is passing you by. If you don't do it now, so you have to know the answer now, because you won't be able to do it later. So Mamela, in any case, but we see the inyan of Chazor Sashatz, you know, it's not a poshut zach. What we decided to do here on the sheet, to bring you some very interesting things regarding Chazor Sashatz, and some of the things will be actually an eye-opener, if you take a look over here. So let's take a look here on the sheet. Okay, over here. First item we have here is a sefer called Halichas Chaim, where they put together Hanhogas from the Kloisenberger Rebbe. They put down sefer Halichas Chaim, and so we selected a number of things there. First of all, you have here, you see, the first item I have here, that Rabbeinu Hirbe Lahazir Al Choymer V'Yisr L'Sercheyach B'Beis HaKnesses, that the Rebbe very often would talk about it to stimulate people and to arouse the awareness that it's also to speak b'chol in basic knesses. In a shul is not a place where you talk private things that have nothing to do with serving the Kodesh Baruch Hu. A shul is a holy place. It's a mokim Kodesh. So mele, in a basic knesses, a shul is reserved to speak in varsha b'kedusha. And Rebbe would very often, he says, here b'lahazir, very often would warn and talk about the issur to speak, you know, frivolous things like that, joking around or things which nothing of substance that is anything really in basic knesses, ubefrat beis atfil, especially during davening and kriyas haTorah. So you take a look here right underneath. We find here a quote from the Zohar HaKodesh. The Zohar HaKodesh says in Parshas Truma, Uman de mishtoi bebei knishtet. The Zohar HaKodesh is very, very strong, very harsh, very condemning. The Zohar HaKodesh says, there's someone who speaks, he says, in the basic knesses, right? Someone, no, you're supposed to be davening, supposed to be learning. Someone who speaks. Somebody who speaks and talks bebei knishtet in the shul, bemilun de choyl, right? Speaking, he says, things of choyl, things that are not dvorim shebekdusha, unholy things. Vaylei, woe to him. The lesle chulke b'lekodesh oil. He has no chelik in a Kodesh Baruch Hu Elokai Yisrael. Like as if he's been separated from the Jewish people. It's very, very strong words. Very serious words. And if you take on the Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, Siman Kufnan Aleph, it says, but the Knesiyas about the Medrashos, when somebody spends time either in the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash, Einoy Hagim Mem Kal Zroish. One cannot be Noyeg, right? Instead, you can't, in the Beis HaKnesses, have Kal Zroish, which is to be frivolousness, Schoik, laughter, hissel, mockery, sicha betela, just speaking about anything under the sun. You can't do that. This is a basic knesses. Whatever comes out of your mouth has to be dvarim shekvidusha, has to be holy words. And the Mogavrom, look at the Mogavrom says, and Mogavrom brings it down, b'shem the smag. The smag wrote a sefer mitzvah's cotton. The smag, sefer mitzvah's godel, and the smag with the kuf, sefer mitzvah's cotton. The Mogavrom brings it down, look what he says. Uba'ova zeh, because of this aveira. The aveira that people come to shul, they don't respect the shul. Many shuls have turned into churches, Chas v'Shalom, he says. That's what happens. He says, "Ba'ovah in zeh nehepochim." He says, "Habote kinesios lebeis akum chaz v'sholom." It's a quote of the Mogen Avraham. So you see that we have to preserve the kedusha of the shul. If you don't preserve the kedusha of the shul, then you don't deserve it should be a shul. It's not a shul. To preserve the kedusha of a shul, to be able to be a shul, the shul has to be respected. And the shul is not respected. You know what? Let it not be a shul. That's something else. Ad kedekach, as the Mogen Avraham says, look what it might turn into. When we profane the Kedusha, the holiness of the Shul, then Rachmon al Islam, midi kenegid midi, measure for measure, you know what happens? The Pasuk says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I will make desolate your sanctuaries. I'll destroy your sanctuaries. Kasher Hoises, we found that what happened was the Gzeiris Tach V'Tat, the famous, unfortunate, tragical pogroms in 1648 and 1649, known as the Chmelnytsky pogroms. At that time, literally, Jews were massacred. Jewish blood was spilling like rivers, like water, literally. There's a whole write-up by someone, by Renossen Hanover of the time. You can't read it. You can't just imagine. Someone, you know, if you're too squeamish, you can't even hear it. But he talks about, I mean, the torturous things that they used to do to Jewish people is to take pregnant women and used to cut. Excuse me, just for saying it, how gruesome it is, but just to give you just one idea, just used to cut up on the stomachs and used to put in cats, live cats, into the stomach and sew it up. Just the idea is to scratch out the insides. This is just invented, ingenious ways of torture that you cannot imagine during the Gzeira of 1648 and 1649. Why did it happen? Why did it happen? So they bring it down here. And by the way, in 200 shuls also were destroyed. 200 shuls were destroyed in addition to all the Jewish life, as we said, that was lost. It was an awesome, awesome churban. So tzaddikim made a question to ask in Shemaim, to get a message from Shemaim, from heaven, to find out what is the reason. They wanted to have something come revealed from the Shemaim. Let us know, what is the sibah? What is the cause of this? What is the chait? What was such a serious aveira that brought this, these terrible tragedies? He said that the shuls were destroyed as well. And the answer came, the cause was, because they profaned the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses. Because of the Dvarim B'Tehillim. The Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses was not respected. It's the house of Hashem. Imagine somebody going, right? Somebody going, and what he does is goes to the palace of a king, right? And start shooting out the windows, start breaking out the windows. Or starting to throw paint, right, on all the decorations on the palace of the king. It's a Bizoyin HaMalchus. The Beis HaKnesses, the Beis HaKnesses, this is the house of Hashem. This is the palace of Hashem. And therefore, you have to conduct yourself accordingly. If somebody even walks into, somebody even walks in, visit any high dignitary, certainly if you walk in a king, a queen, even a president of the United States, right? So you rehearse, right, the few lines that you're going to say about 500 times just to make sure you're saying it right. You're standing there in awe. So now, how much more so, coming into the presence of Hashem, coming into the house of Hashem, and that's what's taken very seriously, as is pointed out. And therefore we know that the Tosfos Yontif, who lived at the time, right, Rabbi Yontif Lippmann Heller, who was Nifter in 1654, and right, was a Rav in Prague, was a Rav in Vienna, and finally was a Rav in Krakow, and that's where his kaver is. Rabbi Yontif Lippmann Heller made a very special Mishaberech he composed for those people who behave properly with respect in the Beis Medrash and they don't speak during davening. And here we have a sample of the Mishaberich. It's brought down from in a sefer of many svarim, but there's a sefer called Rabbi Yevi Sover. Rabbi Yevi was a big tzaddik. There's a sefer called Moira Migdosh, which talks about fearing the Migdosh when you come into the sanctuary, that you have to have pachad, you have to have Moira. So he writes, Bishnas Tach, in the year 1648, tens of thousands of Jews were destroyed, were killed. Omru l'maylos, that was said from heaven, came a message, b'shul shedimru b'bet the kinesias, but the medrash, v'lechein tikin rabbeinu balatoysis yontif, b'shul yontif was misakein, a special nusach, he composed a special nusach, a text of Mishaberach, l'misha einam adab b'shul kinesis, l'omru b'chol Shabbos, the Seder b'Shabbos. Now look at the Loshon. Look at the text. Mishaberach avisenu avroim yisrach v'yakir moishu andov v'shloimoi. Now look what he says. Who Yivarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, who blessed the others, who Yivarach is called Misha Shoyim Pibul Lishoynoi. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless every person, right, that is able to guard his mouth and his tongue. Shol Yedaber Beis HaTfilah Kriyas HaTorah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmereyo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should protect him called Tzorah Fetzukah from any tzorah, any calamity. Kol Negu Machel from any illness, any sicknesses. Not only that, look at the next line. He doesn't stam give him a brocha. All the brochas, not one brocha, all the brochas that you find in Torah Moshe should go on this person. And not only in Torah Moshe, ubechol sifra hanavim v'ksuvim. If you open up Chamishichum Shetoyre, and you go through Nevi'im, you go to Ksivim, you find hundreds and hundreds of brochas. All of those brochas, he says. All of those brochas should be chal, right? Upon the person, he says, "Yiskeli resbonim chayim v'kayomim." Should be zoicher to see children alive and well. The gadlim l'toyre l'chupel l'masim toivim. The yavid es Hashem l'kein to serve Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tomid always the emes ubetomim v'nemon with loyalty. Amen. This is Pirmen Shvei. Now, the reason that we don't do it is because it becomes like everything else. It becomes a regular mishaber do that every week. It just loses its power. Someone suggested maybe to do it like once a year. That's a cheshem, maybe. Maybe Chodesh Elul. Once a year, every the end of the year, or maybe the beginning of the year is a good time to do it. But the idea, what happens is, like everything, because there are places that do it. I'm not so sure that the quorum of the shul is that great, in spite of the Mishaberach. Again, it becomes like a routine thing. Eh? So the Gabbai just rattles it off, like, you know, like in any other Mishaberach. Maybe 90% of people don't even hear it. They said, you know, so but you see, don't underestimate this very, very special Mishaberach of the Tosfos Yontif. So I want you to go further and take a look further. I want you further words here that we have here from the Kloisenberger Rebbe. He said very clearly. He said, if in any of my shuls, he said, there's a lot of shtiblich, Kloisenberger shtiblich. You know, there's many. He says, if any of my shtiblich, if it's talking during davening, I want people, those who want to go out, leave the Beis Medrash, and make themselves a new Beis Medrash. They make themselves a new Beis Medrash. And he says in one of the places, let them take down the sign, this is not a Kloisenberger Beis Medrash, he says. Take down the sign, call it another shul. Because this is not the kind of shul that want to represent, that represents my name. And here he writes, so Bezani Megaladati, clearly I'm telling you my opinion very clearly, very openly, no uncertain terms. Umavakish Mekol Talmidai. I request from all my Talmidim, Shebim Royim, that if they see, She Efshilahanik Bebesa Medrish, Loy Ludabi Bshasat Filah, you see it's unsuccessful. You're not successful that people should refrain from talking your davening. She Yislagdu Leatsvim, they should gather together. Aseris Anoshim, let them get 10 people Yerushimayim, Hayireim, people are Yerushimayim who really are afraid, who really fear, Memisha Hizra'al HaMikdash, they really take seriously HaKadosh Baruch Hu's warning about Moir HaMikdash, the Yasulim Beis HaMedrash, but they ask them, let them make themselves their own shul, let them separate themselves. Don't stay in a Kehillah where they're talking during davening, he says. L'ispalel Yachad Yirei Hashem, people who are Yerushimayim, they should be davening together. You have to stand in awe for a Mokem HaKodesh, for a Mokem Mikdosh. Don't remain davening by Yisakneses. Pretty serious words over here. And then, he spoke about it many, many times. Here you have a little bit of an expert in a drosha in 1981, a Shabbat Shuvah drosha. What the Rebbe said in the following: the Zelushim Kotsha Shal Rabbeinu Zechusa Yogin Aleinu, Midrash Shabbishuvah Shnas Tovshin Mem Aleph. It's printed in a sefer called in Divrei Torah Chelik Aleph, so on. Oyd Ratzasi LaOyrer Al Mashu Gadli. He says, I want to be Meir, he says, and I want to arouse, he says, that which was told me. I'm surprised. I heard that even in among our shuls, in the Kloisenberger shuls, in our shuls, that there are people who talk during davening, he says. Yeshem keilo hamefatpetim bishas atfila. Means they're gibbering. That you're gibbering. He said, during davening, they're not aware, such a serious avera, and no one is telling them about it. Nobody's rebuking them. Nobody's rebuking them. You know why they're not rebuking them? Because you know why? Because sometimes the people doing the talking are choshev people. They're sitting right next to their own kodesh. And therefore people, right, just don't feel adequate enough to go up. Who's going to give musa to someone who is standing up on their own kodesh, you know, who is a person high standing? Or maybe they're afraid that maybe he's going to stop giving his donations that he usually gives if you're going to step on his toe. If that's the reason, says the Rebbe, he says, well, let me tell you something. He says, we see that these people are not being reproved. Either because you call them and bekira mizrach, because they daven by the mizrach wall, and therefore it doesn't seem appropriate, right, to go and give them musar. Or maybe they're not given musar shechoshishim because we're worried. Shema lo yitrumu ba'ayin yofik olkach l'kupas beis hakneses. That maybe they won't give their nice, handsome donations that they used to be giving. So he says, besides the seriousness of the avera that we find in Chazal, but these people actually cause other people to do the same thing. Because what happens all the time is people learn from one another. Everybody has a desire to want to talk. So if you see the people around you are doing it, so they're not just doing the avera for themselves, but they actually are influencing others to do the same thing. They're goyim that others should yilmdu b'maseim. So v'tamo ani, he says, I am astonished. He says, eich efshe l'soicheach b'sho sh'atzibur oimrim hoidu l'Hashem. Tzibur sing hoidu l'Hashem, let's praise Hashem. And what are you doing? You're not doing it. The tzibur is saying hoidu l'Hashem, kiru v'shmoi. So why aren't you responding? Your idle talk is more important. You're not interested in hoidu l'Hashem. Or when the people are saying baruch hu Hashem, let's go praise Hashem, you're doing something else. How can you not be part of the tzibur that's ready to praise Hashem? How can you reject that, he says? And they just disregarded totally, speaking Narishkeiten. Look what he says. Are we surprised, he says, that all the nations of the world, the United Nations, are against the Jewish people? The Jewish people don't respect, he says. The Jewish people don't respect the Beis HaKnesses, the Mokim Kodesh. How do you expect that they should have respect in the eyes of the Goyim? Look what he says. Hayipola, is it surprising? Shemida can I give me the measure for measure? Nis'asim ha'umah is ba'um. Laganos is Yisrael. Beradbaz Isa. You know, the Radbaz was Rabbeinu David ben Zimra. The Radbaz, you know, was a Rav Mitzrayim in Cairo. He was the chief rabbi of Egypt. The Radbaz was Nifter in 1573. He was the Rebbe of the Arizal. The Arizal was a Talmud of the Radbaz. Also the Shittu Mekabetzes was also a Talmud of the Radbaz. And Radbaz writes regarding the Arabs. It's embarrassing that the Arabs have more respect, he says, for their houses of worship, he says, than we do. So writes Radbaz. The 1500s, he writes this. He writes, Radbaz, Isa, Radbaz writes, Sha'arabian, the base Tiflosam, not Tiflosam, Tiflosam, you know. He says, the houses of worship, Yoshvim Yechefim, first of all, they take off the shoes, also respect, they take off the shoes. The Einam Moitzim Hege Bipiem. You don't have a side word coming out of the mouth other than praying what they have to pray for. Hayesh Pela, he says, is it surprising? Lamash Sheroim that we see, Shorabim Yemach Shemom, he says, Nosu Roish Maslichim Boilam. He says, Kozois Umide, can I give me this measure for measure? Al Shein Onu Nohagim Kovet Babot, can I see Shalom Bishas Atfile? It's one thing if you're sitting in your own house, it's bad enough, but sitting in the palace of the king, that's rebellious, that's traitor. How can you do that? How can you sin in the palace of the king, he says? That's the ultimate, he says. That's the ultimate of being rebellious. He says clearly, he says, there's something which is a tremendous chutzpah. He says, Keneged Hashem Yisborach. This type of aver, alul olahazik yoser, can cause more damage. Mavera chamura she'ezer rosha oivel Hashem taiva. You hear what he's saying this? It's an amazing, amazing thing that you hear here. and so on. And he says further, Umigra Gora, look how bad it is. Masha Yoishim Beis HaMedrash, people sit in the Beis HaMedrash, Umedabrim Diburim Asurim, right, Ke'elu, Be'emsa Tfila, they speak these prohibited things during davening, Oichazor Sashatz, Oichris HaTor, Ube'ovein Zed Nigram Rachmotam Ikuv HaGa'ula. That's also holding back Mashiach, in addition to everything else. Okay, now, in order to keep the Koran, he brings another thing that he made, instituted, and he asked, don't bring young children to shul. Young children who can't sit in their place, that are running around. That's not chinuch. What's chinuch? Why bring a child to shul for? Bring a child to shul is to teach him, right? To teach him how to daven, let him know what a shul is. But shul, it's not a babysitting service. And therefore, you bring a child to shul, not only the child, of course, is not ready to daven, he's too young, but he's disrupting everybody else. You know what? The father is just busy every moment with the child. Father can't daven. And if the mother brings him, the mother is not able to do any davening. Because everybody's busy with the child. Child wants this, the child wants that. So he says, Rabbeinu hoyim mevakish lo ilohovi lebeis hakneses yelodim ketanim. Terem sheigiu lechinuch. If they're underage, they're not ready yet to accept chinuch. To be taught, children under the age of chinuch, asher marishim umafriyim, they just make noise, and they disturb the Shah Boy Beis Hashem. They disturb other people who come to the shul, who want to be mechaven, who want to have daven with kavona, or mechalim kavod beis hakneses. So the truth is, this I already mentioned much earlier. Take a look over here. Listen to the Shlach Kodesh writes. And by the way, this quote is the Moge Avraham brings the Shlach Kodesh. Quote of Shlach. This one, the Moge Avraham. Sorech sheyechanech bonachat tanim. A father has to be mechanech, has to get his children into the habit while they're still young. Sheyamdu bebeis hakneses be'emu be'ira. They come into shul, they should realize, they're going to shul, they're having fun, right? They come, they have to realize, shul is a serious place. They should stand there in awe and in fear. Ve'oysom horotzim v'shovim, those children who run back and forth bebeis hakneses, b'schoik mutav shloi lehavion. Okay? Better don't bring them. This is the Moge Avraham, b'shem the Shloach Kodesh. And the Prima Godim writes, look at the Prima Godim writes, Mutav Shloi Lehevion Kim Gidoilim Kitsas. Wait until they're a little bit bigger. Wait until the children are a bit bigger. V'yoidim. And they know something. Kivalav Hoche. Guess what? Because you bring them, they're very young. And while they're young, right, they're used to running around. Guess what? That habit when they're older too. So the habit that's developed. So you're just ruining even the future, he says. Hergil Nasi Teva Sheini. Habit becomes second nature, he says. This one's going to be. And the Ayin El Yohu Rabo. The Yohu Rabo, by the way, was in Prague. Was a dying in Prague in one of the most choshes form of the Aloha, the Yohu Rabo. The Yohu Rabo, you know, also going back to the 1600s, the Yohu Rabo. And he writes to Bishem, the Kolboy. The Kolboy was a Rishon. Oy lohem shemasichem beis atfila, woe to them that talk during davening. Ke ra'inu kamebot the kinesias nechrevu, that were destroyed, many shuls b'shel oven zeh. Ubesefer Vovehu Amudim. Voveh Amudim is a sefer from the son of the Shloh. Kosav Yeshulim Nois Anoshim Yiduim. You should appoint like monitors. Alze Boinshim Rabin. And to penalize. They were very serious about it. But you see, it was a very, very serious problem. So I want to tell you, many years ago, you know, we made that tikkun, if you remember, in the shul here, many, many years ago, that you can't bring children under three. We sort of relaxed it already because you don't have too many children under three anymore. So, but it was a big tikkun. And then, and by the way, there's a lot of people then who didn't understand. Said, what do you mean? Children are supposed to bring children to shul. After all, you got to get the youth. Yes, but supposed to bring children to shul, and they understand what shul is all about. And then I found that Rosh Hashanah for Hirsch, that Rav Hirsch, when he made his various number of takonas that he made in the shul in Frankfurt, and here we have excerpt, you know, this is from the Sefer Rabbi Samshel Fol Hirsch, as you'll see it here on page 303. Let's read it here. You'll see the takonas of the Beis Medrash. This is Rav Hirsch. This is the Yekis, all right? So take a look here. This is Rav Hirsch. This is the takonas that he instituted in the shul. So he brings over here. Look at number one. Every synagogue must be kept constantly set in a state of cleanliness and order, so that even its external appearance proclaims to visitors, you're about to enter a holy place imbued with fear of Hashem's honor. Sure, it should be a coveted place, respectable place. They should recognize, I'm entering the house of Hashem. Number two, similarly, each participant in the services must maintain a clean and new appearance. You come to shul, wear clean clothing. You don't come from the street. If your job entails something, you know what? Yeah, change your jacket. Change jacket. Maybe if your shoes are not presentable because I don't know where you wear. You know, yeah. You come to shul dressed properly. It's forbidden to enter, he says, the synagogue with dirty clothes or a torn talus. It's also one of the regulations. Rav Hirsch. Realize we're talking about here in the mid-1800s. These regulations. The mid-1800s. Number three. Every step you take and every movement you make in a synagogue must reflect fear and awe of Hashem's honor. In other words, if somebody sees you walking, they should recognize from the way that you're walking that you understand that you're in the house of Hashem. It should be reflected in the way that you're moving even about. You're not moving about in the shul the same way that you're moving about on the street. It should be with the cheres. Number four. It says, children must not disturb adults with their presence. Therefore, children under the age of five may not be brought to the synagogue. This was the tikkunah. Children under the age of five. Okay, couldn't bring them to shul. And then he says further, it's forbidden to do anything that will disrupt the concentration in prayer of oneself or others. And of course, number six, what we're talking about all along, is strictly forbidden to engage in conversation in the synagogue. Anyone who does show, right? But that so shows that his thoughts are not filled with the fear of God, and that he does not seek to come close to God. This attitude erects a barrier, of course, between Hashem and himself, and so on and so forth. This is very, very basic to Konis, and this is something that we have to clearly understand what that is. Now, I want to tell you something, and it's unbelievable to me when I saw this. I saw this many years ago. You know, when the Pesach Gador of his time, his generation, was the Noidi Biyudah. Rabbi Cheskel Landau, right? Cheskel Landau again lives in the second half of the 1700s, right? And he dies in Nifter in Prague, 1793, right? The Pesach Hador, this was the time the Pnei Shua was alive, this is the time that Rabbi Yonason Eibschitz was alive, Rabbi Anke Vemden was alive, the Chidor was alive. This was such a Dor day, it was such a generation of Gedoyli Yisor that they say Kamat, they say from the time of the Dor HaMidbar. Chassam Sofer said Psaloshin, he says, Gedoyli Shagisari was alive, the Vilna Goyim was alive, the Baal Shem Tov. You're talking about a generation of so many Gedoyim of different stripes and colors that you've never had a generation of so many, you know, as we're talking about. Now, Noidi Biyudah gave Shabbos Shuvah Droshes also, and he gave Shabbos Agudal Droshes. And it's interesting, among the different things that he talked about, Shabbos Shuvah, he gave Musar. He said different Torah, of course. He said a lot of different Torah, but he also gave Musar. Among the different Musars, what we took out here, very upset he is that in Prague in the shul, there was talking during davening. And what's more surprising is the Noidi Biyudah says, I tried to stop it and I was not very successful. The Noidi Biyudah. Let's take a look at a few words here. The Drush HaTzlach, this is the fourth Drush of Shabbos Shuvah. Let's take a look at number 8. Kvar Echachti Kam Epomim, I already gave Musar many times. Al Sichem Betelu Bebeis HaKnesses. These are the words of the Noidi Biyudah. Word for word. Many times I gave Musar about talking in Shul. Ubefrat Be'ez Chazor Sashas, during the repetition of the Shemin Esrei. And also Umaoinish, I let them know, he says, the Oinish, the punishment, Hamvur Alze, which is written about it, he says, Rahman al Islam. Ukvar his heart alze, and I warned the people. The Roya Nish Loy Poalti Klum. Do you believe such words? Hagunish Gepoilt, he says. It was not accomplished. But dying posasaha mispachas, he says. He's the Dinega, he says, the affliction is still spreading. The machla, the sickness, he says, this sickness is still spreading. But you know what? I don't give up. The Gemara says, why say double lashon? Right? Reprove and reprove. Why twice? Means so I'm going to do it even 100 times also. If I wasn't on the sliach till now, I'm going to continue. He says, I'm not stopping. He says, it's not enough. He says, he wants to explain to them the seriousness. It's not enough. The seriousness. He says, you actually are profane, you're being metame the Bis Medrash. So it's not just an avera on your part. The air that comes out of your mouth, the words that you're doing, it's metame, he says, the Heichel Shebebeis HaKnesses. Zois, he says, Gam Zois, he says, Be'emse Chazor HaSashas, but also, if you do that, then you are mevatel the Shechenim, the neighbors who want to listen and want to hear the Chazan. But because of your chattering, you're talking, you are being basically, you are ruining it, the ability for them. You're not allowing them. You are confusing the neighbors. That they wouldn't be able to answer amen. Look what he says. You know what you used to do? You know, there's two ways that a Rav can sit. You know, a Rav can sit facing the Olam, facing the people. And you see many different people. The Chassidishim faces, usually the Rav faces, does not face the people. He faces the wall. You know what I used to do? I used to turn around facing the people, he says, because when they saw me, they used to stop talking. But it became so habitual that they got used to it. They didn't stop talking even when I turned around.
This is not Yehuda. It's an amazing thing. I'll tell you these words. Look at this. Let's look at the words, how he says it. Yivoyisi rogila hashgiach be'emsa tfila kol hazdodim. I used to look around. These are all sodom. You should turn to my right, you should turn to my left. Ki machmas boishosom me'meni, because after all, they had busha for me. If I would look around, and I would see them talking. So because of the busha, hoyin nimnoim. They would refrain. Va'achshov gam boish lo yivoyishu. But now they have no busha anymore. Va'ahergil nasa eslam teva. And it became a habit. He said, the habit became, he says, natural. And what I do, that's what he does. It's very sad. So I close my eyes to it. I don't want to see it. Yeah, I don't look anymore. I don't look, because why? Because they're not embarrassed anymore. So I'm looking, imagine, and in my face, they still continue to talk. So he says, so I'm Mekayim. Yeah. Okay, I pushed it out here. It says the other side. And then he says, he said, and they are, all they're doing is causing so much bad, they're bringing upon themselves. Woe to them, they have no chelik in the Jewish God. And that's exactly what we saw from the Zohar Kodesh, and he really is quoting it from the Zohar Kodesh. Who asked them to come to shul? That's what the Novi says, Yishai, you know, the after it. We say it in the... Who asked them to come? Ramoy Schatz. Who asked them? For this you're coming to shul? Stay home, he says. Who is asking you to come to shul? Already last year I spoke about it. It's like Menashe who came and put an Avodah Zorah into the Beis HaMikdash. Talking in shul is like bringing an Avodah Zorah, he says, into the Beis HaMikdash. Like Mamish, like Menashe, Shem, Cain, Hamor, Boirim, Mashkiz, they are creating, he says, destroyers, Umechabel, Bebeis, Akneses, and so on and so forth. And besides, they don't answer Kedusha and Kaddish, and so on and so forth. So I wish, he says, the last line over there in the middle, Bechein, Mahayoim, Behol, Yekablu, Aleim, please be Mechabel, accept upon yourself, La'azo, Yvchedze. That's one thing. What's the other thing he gave Musar about? It seems that in Prague, people were mezels and not every daven with a minyan. In other words, it's more comfortable than daven at home. Especially in the winter time when it's cold. So people, you know, didn't want to make that trek into the shul. And they daven at home. So he gave musar on that too. And look what he says here. This is number 9. It's also part of the Shabbos Shuvah Drosha. Call me Sheyesh LeBeis HaKnesses B'Yiroi Tzegemara. He assumed that you knew it. He doesn't say it's a Gemara, but it's a Gemara. Whoever has a shul in his town and doesn't come in is a bad neighbor. Because the shul is supposed to be your neighbor. Now if you don't go visiting the neighbor, that's the shul. Right? So it says, Call me Sheyesh LeBeis HaKnesses B'Yiroi Veina Nechnes L'Toychel. It does not go into the shul to daven. Nikra Shochin Ras. Call the bad neighbor. The Af, look what he says. Now this is very interesting. You know there are places, you know, unless it's very, very far, but there are places that have these things, these Friday night, you know, they daven in houses. But he was very much against it. I'll tell you, you'll see why. Not the way, if you know, we can understand if it's like really far to walk, maybe that could be a reason. But there seem to be people that, yes, that there's a thing, you know, I daven in your house, you daven in my house. You can easily go to shul, you know. So it takes another 5 minutes maybe to go to shul. Not talking about. And he doesn't make a minyan. So they say to themselves, "What's the difference? I'm davening. I have a minyan anyway. Is it make a difference if the minyan is in a house or it's in a shul? It's a big difference." Look what he says. Va'av mispal b'mokem eiz bayis b'minyan. So he's davening in some house, right, with a minyan. She'einoy doyme kedushas beis hakneses shuhu mikudesh mikdash v'kodesh baruch hu matzuboy. It's not the same. You daven in the Beis HaKnesses, that has Kedushas Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the shul. Kishodom nichnas la Beis HaKnesses, look what he says. When a person walks into shul, Yetzer Hara neka miliboy. Says that the evil inclination, Yetzer Hara, is forced, is chased out. The doimel Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But not when you make a minyan in the house. The shul has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, he says. Tfila oyle lemalo, and therefore in the shul the tfila goes right up to Shemayim. Bemalo ha'oyle beis kel, there's a special highway going straight to Hakadosh Baruch Hu from the shul. Ki hasar, because the sar means the sotan ein lo shlita al avir beis haknesses. The sotan has no authority on the air, right, in the parameters of the beis haknesses. That's out of his boundaries. However, he says mashenke hamispalel bebayis shechosu kol ha'milus. But somebody daven's a house. A house does not have any milus. The house, you decided to daven there. The house does not have the milu of a shul. Doesn't have the kedusha of a shul. And especially if you daven be yechidus, he says, without a minyan.
Umikoshkin certainly mispala biyochid beloy minyan shoz onshe meruba ve'ein tefilos shloda nishmas el bebeis hakneses. The abe meyakshomem, he says that even in the winter time I'm not going to come to shul. And he's making a joke. He says, and don't worry about it, rubbing your shoes out, that you're going to walk in the snow and in the mud, because the schar for minyan would be much more than the loss, he says, that you may lose walking to shul, he says. He says, the abe meyakshom beiserochik, and the house might be a distance, it's kedai to have a mesiras nefesh to go to the shul. Mekol mokom, nevertheless, achash v'drocha, the Ramelech says, you make a cheshm. It's worthwhile. The loss that you feel that you're going to lose by coming to shul. What are you going to lose? You have to walk, right? It's not so comfortable. It's a tirche. It's a yachshav. Just make a cheshbon. How much you're going to lose, but on the other side, how much you gain. You balance it out. Hafsid, he says, ma'at manolim. He says, losing a little bit of the shoes. It's a joke, like walking, you're going to rub out your shoes, he says. Whatever that loss is, you're going to get schar mitzvah, schar p'siyas yeish. So finally, one more thing. We have also the tzlach, you see that he was very bothered about this. And therefore, nadrosh and Chanukah. Now, where does it come into Chanukah? Well, Chanukah, you know, one of the main things about Chanukah was that the Yevonim came in, right, the Greeks came in, and they profaned the Beis HaMikdash. And as a result, after the Nes of Chanukah, what did they have to do? They had to come and repurify and rededicate. Chanukah means rededication, Chanukah, right? To rededicate. So he says, what did the Yevonim do? Well, we say, Yevonim nigbetsu alai. Right? We know the Yevonim, can we say, in the Zemiris of Chanukah. The Timu Kol HaShmanim, right? And they went and they profaned. They defiled all the oil. Not only did they defile the oil, they were metame, they defiled everything in the Beis HaMikdash. He said, if you come to shul, he says, and you're talking Dvorim B'Telem in a shul, you're doing what the Yevonim did. You are being metame, the Beis HaKnesses. You're no better than the Yevonim. Look what he says. And he said this in a drosh on Chanukah. Number 10. A drosh on Chanukah. These days, this is Chanukah he's talking about. These days, royal litin lakes, and now is the time to pay attention. Make sure to remove things that are going to remove the Shechinah. Because that's what the Yevonim wanted to do. What the Yevonim wanted to do is to remove the Shechinah should not reside in Klal Yisrael. Look what he says. In an hour time, he says, unfortunately, Beis HaGolus, Ofes Mokim Lashos HaShchineh. We are not allowing the Shechineh to come here. We are chasing out the Shechineh. We're not giving space for the Shechineh. Why? Ki Chora Beis Mikdoshenu. On the one hand, we have no Beis HaMikdosh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Barachamo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with His Rachmonas, gave us an opportunity to have something secondary. That's the Shul. Hishalonu She'eris, He allowed us to have something left. Uksiv, it says, Ve'eyelohem L'migdash Ma'at, because Baruch Hu says, I will give you a miniature Beis HaMikdash. What's the miniature Beis HaMikdash? The Shul. That's the place with the Shechinah. So the substitute place for the Beis HaMikdash is the Shul. The Elo Hamadabrin the Beis HaKnesses, those people talking Shul, Eloch Moirid B'Malka Shaloy, there's no greater rebellion, the Heicholoi in his palace, Ulefonov, Godel Mizev, there's no greater Avla, there's nothing greater that you can do that is destroying the sanctity of the Shul. V'zem Metame Avira Kodesh Dugmas HaYevonim Shetim HaMizbech. Look what he's saying. That behavior actually is metame. You're being metame. You are defiling the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash the same way that the Yevonim were metame, that they defiled the Mizbeach. Ki zeh ma'mitzelam be'echol. He says, because what you're doing is like you're putting an avodah zara right into the Hechol, bring it right into the Beis HaMikdash, and so on. And he says, the last line, he said, v'nisein rab nisparit sadover moed. So when the Rosh tells us again that be careful, do not speak from Sukkot the Zimmer to the end of Shemoneh Esrei, that people are careful about, but he puts right next to it, be also careful about Chazoras HaShatz, that these are lumping it together. Make sure that what? Be very careful. At least we have a little bit of an idea, Rabbi Isaiah, about this. That's something that's in the game, that's Maisim B'chol Yoyim. We want to mention, just we have another 5 minutes. We say in the davening, we're talking about, you know, the tefillah that we have. One of the tefillahs that we have is Rafa'enu Hashem, a year in the Spalto Kodesh Baruch Hu, which is the eighth tefillah. It's tefillah number 8 in the Shemoneh Esrei, the eighth bakosha. The eighth thing that you ask for in the davening is a Kodesh Baruch Hu should heal us. Rafa'enu Hashem and Rafa'enu Kodesh Baruch Hu should heal us, but remember, let's read the words. Rafa'enu Hashem, please Hashem heal us, v'nei Rafa'enu, and we will be healed. Isn't that sort of like redundant? Rafa'enu Hashem,
right? Kodesh Baruch Hu, please heal us, and v'neirothe, and we will be healed. Why are we adding the words? If Hashem heals us, of course we'll be healed. Why are we adding these words in our tefillah, v'neirothe? Simply said, Rafu'enu Hashem, please Hashem heal us. So what's the v'neirothe? So some explain that the tefillah, we're asking Hashem to completely heal our illnesses so that they are gone forever. In other words, Rafeinu Hashem, in such a way that Vene Rafe will be healed permanently, not temporarily. So Vene Rafe really is extra emphasis that the healing should be forever. Because sometimes we have a temporary illness, then it comes back later, 2-3 years or something like that, you know, this kind of thing. Rafeinu Hashem, but Vene Rafe, let us remain healed. Let us remain healed. That's one way. Another thing, another pshat that they say, another meaning is, Rafeinu Hashem v'nei Rafe. What does it mean to say? It means to say, Rafeinu Hashem, and v'nei Rafe is referring to that protect us against future illnesses. Rafeinu Hashem from this illness, v'nei Rafe, and be healed from future illnesses. Because there's one illnesses, but only Hashem knows how many more illnesses, right, that a person is able to be afflicted by. So we say, Rafeinu Hashem from this illness, v'nei Rafe from many other illnesses. There was a particular yid, his name is Rabbi Gibber. And he davens in a shul in Brooklyn. And there's a yid by the name of Mr. Friedman that he knew very well, that this Mr. Friedman was not well. And but he didn't know many details about his illness, about his sickness. And this Rabbi Gibber that he notices that when this Mr. Friedman, that whenever he davened with great kavon, he davened with great intensity. So one day this Rabbi Gibber said to him, he said, you know what, you're inspiring me. He said, you inspire me because I see that the way you daven with such kavon, with such intensity. And it's nice to see how people take tefillah seriously, he said to him. So this Mr. Friedman said, thank you, I appreciate that what you're saying, but I want you to know that in addition to tefillah, when somebody takes a little extra time of learning Torah, is that also can bring him a lot of Yeshua. Now Rabbi Gibber himself was a Magishir, but he was a Magishir in Chassan Sofer. And really, he said, see, he didn't need that somebody to tell him, you know, about a boss to tell him what it means to learn Torah. So, but he was just interested. He knew there must be something more about that. But he's telling him, you know, it's not just tefillah, but Torah can also do it. So, and he says to him, what do you mean? Apparently there's something behind what you're saying. So he says like this, Mr. Friedman says a very fascinating thing. He says, you know what, I've been suffering for a long time. He says, what he had was colitis and ileitis. It's a big stomach situation. People have to go through a lot with these type of things. He says, and they got to the point, he says, that he basically that he needed continuous blood transfusions because the blood count was so low. And he said, I was losing, he said, much blood. Losing much blood. So I needed continuous blood transfusions. So a few months ago, he said, on Shabbos morning, and we daven, and we say in the Lamatzeach, we say that, Toiras Hashem Timimo Meshivas Nofesh. It's a capital in Tehillim, right, Yutes, 19, right? Torah Hashem Timimah Meshivas Nafesh. What does it mean? The Torah of Hashem is perfect. Torah Hashem Timimah Meshivas Nafesh, right? Let's translate it. It restores the soul, right? Meshivas Nafesh. So it hit him something. What else is called Nefesh? Well, there's a pasuk says, a yid is not allowed to eat dam, ki adam hu ha-nefesh. Ah, blood is also called Nefesh. The pasuk says, dam ha-nefesh, blood is the life, is Nefesh. So it occurred to him, if dam is called nefesh, and Torah Hashem Timimah Meshivas Nefesh, maybe he said, I'll add 5 minutes a day, learning a little bit longer, a shir of Torah. He says, maybe it'll restore my nefesh, it'll restore the dam that I'm losing. I should not need all these blood transfusions. I decided, he said, to do that, to increase my daily learning, just he said, with 5 minutes more. I started it, he says, 13 months ago, and Baruch Hashem, since then, I have not needed a single blood transfusion. So here Rabbi Yisai. This is his personal story that he mentioned and he said it. Well, you know, Chazal say that Torah is called the Samtem is the word El Al Avavchem, Sam, you know what Sam means in Hebrew, Sam? Sam? Sam could be a Sam Chaim, it could be Sam Amovis. So the Gemara says Torah is Sam Chaim L'chol Gufoi, the Samtem. Torah is a sam, is a sam chayim. So it's tefillah, va'avada va'ada tefillah, but also you never know with 5 extra minutes of learning what it can do. And he said that worked for him, and that was the story about this guy.